Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. This is the broadcast for January the 19th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is Hour 2 at 2. We're with James Edwards, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. Most people don't even have the guts to tread where we walk routinely. Can you take on the hard topics in America, ladies and gentlemen? Can you discuss it? Or are you a charlatan for the very thought of the discussion? That's kind of the issue we have, ladies and gentlemen. Last hour, we talked about the war that Stuart Rhodes claims is already happening. Was Stuart Rhodes ready for a civil war? Is the U.S. headed for another civil war? Imagine another American civil war, but this time in every state. National public radio claimed that, ladies and gentlemen. Ammon Bundy asks, what are we to do? There's no redress of grievance anymore. You go to the courts, shut down. Abortion, we've literally murdered millions. And we're praying the Supreme Court justices get it right this time. Donald and Ronald in fights. Some would say they're not really, just two heavyweights being exploited by the mainstream press. Is it true or is it a real issue? The fractures in the Republicans and Democratic Party, the fractures are everywhere. It's really a war on Christianity. TheNewAmerican.com writes a piece on that. What would a modern-day secession in the United States really look like, ladies and gentlemen? What kind of divides are we talking about? James Edwards with me both hours. He's the author of a book called Racism Schmacism. He's also a well-known talk show host in his own right every Saturday evening live, thepoliticalcesspool.org. During the week on demand at your fingertips, incredible articles and breakdown from the South, if you will. And, you know, James and I might slightly disagree on things. He's fine if we separate. I understand the Civil War idea and the quest of the South. James would hope the South would rise again. And to some degree, I hope that, too, because states' rights are critical. At the same time, I really don't want divides in America, but they're coming. As James said last hour, I don't think it's avoidable. Wickedness creates division. That's reality, ladies and gentlemen. But what would a modern-day secession from the United States really look like, I would ask? Because really, are we talking about just a divorce from Washington? So we jettison the Fed? The federal government? The general government? Whatever you want to call it? Or are we talking about a secession from the big cities? As I mentioned last hour, every state has a big city that literally controls the whole state. Either that, one or two or three liberal cities. Okay, in Illinois, Chicago controls the whole state. In Utah, Salt Lake City, liberal as all get out, controls the whole state. Are we having a division within our own states? You hear that the folks in Northern California and Southern Oregon want to secede from their states, saying that they're not represented. You got LA and San Francisco literally controlling the whole state of California. And you know what? The Northern California folks, far north, way out in the country, they're not represented. Same thing with Southern Oregon. Now people are saying, well, hey, let's secede and join Idaho. What does this all look like, James, in reality? Any thoughts?
There's just no way to know. I mean, it's certainly totally different than what you had in the 1860s. But I'll say this as well. You know, that was still a very serious question at the time. Did the states who came together voluntarily to form the Union have the right to voluntarily leave the Union? And based upon the founding fathers and what they went through with King George, you know, the South, of course, certainly thought that they did. The North had a difference of opinion and no agreement could come. So it had to be litigated through war. But the South did not want war. It wasn't even really a civil war by the textbook definition. I mean, it was a civil war in so much as it was brother against brother. But a civil war means you have two competing armies trying to control the same government or control the same capital. The United States, or rather the Confederate States, of course, didn't want a civil war and to capture Washington. They just wanted to be allowed to leave. Lincoln didn't allow that. They would have left without ever firing a shot had it been allowed. It wasn't. So that's what that was. But now, I mean, yes, it is so totally different because it's not just a Southern regional thing anymore. You have, as you mentioned, the Greater Idaho secession plan. ideas for Texas itself to secede. And you're so right, too, Sam, about how these cosmopolitan, metropolitan areas bring down the whole state. If you look at the county-by-county voting patterns of deep blue Oregon, you would be surprised to find that more counties in Oregon are red than blue, but it's just that the population center in Portland brings down the entire state. So I don't know, but you're already having, you know, because it's going to be very difficult if just every state secedes from the population centers that you know, bring it down. That's hard to imagine that you'd have that many different secessions, but you're already having secessions in some ways. A very, very interesting piece of data that I saw just a couple of days ago that documents state population trends since the beginning of COVID. Okay, so since March of 2020, so many of the states where you have heavy COVID restrictions are having net negative population growth. I mean, they are losing their population. The South, right now, over the course of the last 2 years, has had a population boom because people from New York and the far West and other places where you have liberal state governments or liberal city governments are moving to the South to find freedom from the totalitarian COVID restrictions. And so I think that's very interesting. I mean, that in and of itself is a form of secession in a way, or maybe you could just call it immigration or whatever you want to call it. But I think
it's a protestation. That's for sure.
I think the point remains that you're already seeing some of this happening. But but if and when the day comes, I don't know, because it is so difficult because people are so mixed up and mixed with ideologies throughout the different states. It's not as though, OK, well, here you have this area, who's all of one people who have one mindset, and you have this area over here. No, I mean, it is all scrambled. Now, obviously, here in the South, it is still so much more predominantly Christian. So you still have the faint difference in culture here in the South, not as pronounced as it once was, but still, when you're in the South, you know you're in the South in terms of mannerisms and so many different cultural indicators that suggest that the South is a nation amongst itself when compared to its surroundings. But I don't know what a modern day secession would look like, and certainly if it does come, we don't need the same cucked out leaders that we have in the South. We don't need people like Ted Cruz. We don't need the people who would sort of be the unintended beneficiaries of such a thing leading us, because they would lead us right back to where we were given enough time that would have passed. So I don't know, but you mentioned too before the break about landlock and trade, and of course, if just use this as an example, I mean, I think when secession happens again, I don't think you'll see it along the lines of the same original Confederate states. I mean, you're going to see perhaps multiple secessions nationwide, but if the Confederate states existed today as an independent nation, had that war gone differently, you would have, I think, what, like a top three, top five nation in terms of population, in terms of GDP, in terms of all the things that matter indicating the strength of a nation. You would have had that just with the old South. Those 13 states would have been a top five power in the world, and they certainly aren't landlocked, because you've got Texas, you've got Florida, you've got Georgia, you've got South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, with all very open access to the ocean.
Yeah, that's why I'm highlighting an event today, though. If we lost the West Coast and the East Coast because they're all liberal, then the only thing we could depend on would be that.
Yeah, but
Texas,
but
New Orleans entry point, right?
Well, I mean, you know, the West Coast is different than the East Coast. I mean, the East Coast is not all liberal. I mean, when people say the East Coast, they're thinking of Northern Virginia upwards, okay? They're thinking the Acela Corridor. They're thinking, you know, Philadelphia. They're thinking Washington, D.C. They're thinking New York and Maine. Okay, yeah, I know that's what most people think about when they think East Coast, but, you know, East Coast also includes Florida, which is a red state, and Georgia and South Carolina.
Hold on, but we're about to lose those red states. They're going to be voting blue with the immigrants pretty soon.
Well, I mean, certainly Georgia did. We'll see. And Florida teeters on a knife's edge, and Texas is on a precipice as well. I mean, they only have a very thin margin of error. So you're right. If enough time passes, it could all go askew. So better to get on it, I think.
Anyway, very, very interesting discussion, ladies and gentlemen. Five Oregon counties vote to leave Oregon and join Idaho. This is not just talk. This is not just, folks from the South saying, hey, the South is going to rise again. This is a modern-day reality that we're dealing with. People are sick of it. People feel like they have no redress of grievance. People feel like there's nowhere to go. It's getting worse. It's boiling over. How bad it will get, when it will get, I don't know. But in the beginning of my life, you know, there were hardly any shootings. Now they're all the time. In the beginning of my life, you know what? Hey, getting in a fist fight was bad at school. Nowadays, we've got other issues to wrestle with. We're dealing with a different environment today than we've ever dealt with before. And you literally have a whole nation pretty much educated as socialists, virtually bordering on communists, straight up in America now. Literally, congressmen and senators don't mind telling you they're flat out a socialist. They don't mind admitting they have communist leanings. We have now hawked ourselves in debt to so many nations and so many factions. What happens if they call the debts too? You think we're in trouble banking on an individual basis if you're a conservative business or a Christian business or a business that takes on the hard topics with free speech, etc. What about real banking shenanigans where they literally call a halt to the con game and say, look, you're going to have to pay your debts, and we can't. I mean, look, we are literally on the brink of having America carved up into pieces. I don't want that. I don't like that. But I'm telling you, even NPR's talking about it. States with literally five counties wanting to leave one state and join another. Ladies and gentlemen, the divisions, all I can tell you is if we're not very careful, we're in serious trouble. What does it look like in reality, though, huh? Hang tight, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, in modern day, what would a secession look like if five counties want to leave the state of Oregon and join the state of Idaho? Is that a secession? What about being landlocked? What about all these different discussions? Listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not the only one talking about this. The mainstream press is big time. Here's the headline. 52% of, quote, Trump voters want red states to secede from the union. They want to get rid of Biden, and they say that's the only way we can get it done. So this is serious business. What would it look like is my question, though. You know what? What would a modern-day secession look like? I don't think it would be pretty, ladies and gentlemen. And you're already starting to see it right now with flights. Okay? You're already seeing flights getting canceled everywhere to where, you know what, you're not able to get to Florida if you're in Utah. You're not able to get to California if you're in Maine. You're not able to get to Minnesota if you're in Texas. If your flight's canceled, you're stuck. We got to depend on driving. The airlines are becoming too finicky, too whatever. What's that going to look like when that starts to happen to communications and transportation and distribution of goods? And I mean, it goes on and on. What does it look like? It ain't going to be pretty, ladies and gentlemen. James?
Well, taking something from theory to practice is always an interesting exercise. So we're not there yet, but the theory of it is gaining some steam. Now, let me say this. It is unfortunate, of course, that the Founding Fathers' dream and vision had been so derailed. Had an hour-long conversation with an historian about this a couple of weeks ago on my show. And, you know, the Founding Fathers were, of course, products of their time, as we all are, and there's just no way. They did the best they could with the information and reality of the world at that time, as they could, but there's just no way they could have foreseen that there would be a day in this America where we would become so godless that you have things like homosexual marriage and not just that, transgenderism and this child abuse, these hormone blockers and these surgeries, this genital mutilization, all of these things that have come in America that's not only allowed but is celebrated. And you're the bad guy. You're the one that's going to get canceled if you say that this isn't appropriate. I always like it when the Founding Fathers didn't put that in the Constitution, but then you have some liberal circuit court judge or a Supreme Court justice who finds it in the Constitution, in modern times. Oh yes, see, the Founding Fathers would have wanted this. They really would have wanted all of this absurdity and degeneracy that we have here today. No, they wouldn't have wanted that. And they didn't want that. They couldn't have even imagined it, okay? So that's the thing. So it's unfortunate that we went from those men and those heroes to where we are today. But that is a path that this country has taken. And so the question, again, Sam, has to be, is it better for our children to separate from a system and from a government and from a media who is pushing this on them in schools? Critical race theory, the idea that if you're white, you are somehow morally inferior, and you're evil, and all of your ancestors are evil, and all of the people from whence you came have never contributed anything good to humanity, and nothing could be further from the truth than that. But that's what we've got. So is it better to protect our children from that? And if separation is the way we have to do it, if that's the most peaceful way to do it, if it's the easiest path of least resistance way to do it, then I say let's do it. But again, your question, how does that get done? Well, when the conversation becomes a little bit more serious, perhaps that path will be illuminated. But I'll tell you this. We have seen in recent weeks Ron DeSantis call, and quite rightly call — this is the sitting governor of the state of Florida, one of the most powerful and most populated states in the union — the attack on the Christmas parade in Waukesha, Wisconsin, an anti-white attack. We saw Donald Trump just last week, the former president of the United States, the most recent former president of the United States. I think everybody knows who Donald Trump is, but I say that for emphasis, say that there is white discrimination. They're using the word white now. Now, why do I say that? Because you would have never seen that 5 years ago. You have Marjorie Taylor Greene. You have other prominent congressmen and governors and a president now saying this. Why are they saying it? Because they're catching up with their base on that issue. They're catching up with their base. Do they really believe it? You know, God only knows. Probably not. But they're saying it because it's politically expedient to do that. And with regards to — this is the point I'm trying to make by bringing that up — with regards to the question of secession, the system's own polling entities, the ubiquitously quoted polling agencies that we hear so often cited, on the question of secession, the majority of Republicans are in favor of the generic idea of secession, and 33% of the country at large. All right? So I think if you have a politician, just as they are now beginning to say, okay, yes, there is white discrimination against whites going on out there, and they're living to see tomorrow because that's where their base is. If you have a politician in a state who really and sincerely and earnestly starts pushing for secession, I think you're going to see a real groundswell of support for that, particularly amongst the truly marginalized populations of this country, rural whites and Christians. And if you, the day you have a politician start seriously pushing for secession, a guy that's in a position to actually do something about it, like a Ron DeSantis, for example, I'm not saying he's for it or against it. I've never heard him speak of it, but he is talking about some other things. You get a guy like that, that's when the pedal could really accelerate. I think, though, and this is why the media is covering it so much, polls indicate that there is enough support out there right now to get this conversation through the door.
There's a website on the internet, ladies and gentlemen. They have, it's Dissolve the United States. They want to break up the United States. They have a written proposal to actually do so. All right? They say the proposal is this: as amicably as possible, reconstitute the existing United States into three smaller countries, each consisting of majority populations that more closely align with the philosophies on the role and size of government, events, you know, religion, work, all these different factors, ethics, morals, politics, the Constitution, etc. And basically they say, as I write this page, it got too emotional, too difficult, so we're under reconstruction. Okay. So it's a very emotional issue for people, ladies and gentlemen. But what does it look like? What does that proposal look like? Is it going to be my town? Sick of Salt Lake City? Okay, Salt Lake City literally is the liberal bastion of Utah. Most of the state's fairly conservative. But my town's like 40 miles south of Salt Lake City. My town's got about 35,000 people in it. Does my town just secede from the state? There now. Get rid of those suckers. They're all liberal and crazy. Well, it's all true. They are liberal. They are crazy. They do control the state. They don't listen to us. Some would say the American empire is falling apart. What does it look like? Where do you live? Is Tennessee going to be a liberal bastion of Memphis? Is the liberal center gone with the red? Or, I'm sorry, gone with the blue? And you're going to be in the red secession of the state? What does this look like, ladies and gentlemen? They say it's time for the United States to divorce before things get worse. Judeo-Christian value and a limited government was the idea. The entire platform of the Democrats stand absolutely opposite to that. America's divorce. Left and right each get half of the country, they say. Some are saying, hey, we could have two states, one for the left, one for the right. The middle ground in American politics is gone. Why the fall of the American empire will come by 2030. This is everywhere. And people might say, Sam, why are you advocating for this? Why are you? I'm not advocating for anything. I'm just telling you this is everywhere. And to pretend it's not is to bury your head in the sand. To pretend it's not happening is ignorant. The question is, what do we do about it? But what does the division look like? Is it red versus blue states? I don't think that turns out very well. Okay? In Idaho, Ammon Bundy running for governor. He says, I want to keep Idaho, Idaho. But Boise controls the whole state of Idaho, the Boise metropolitan region, whatever you want to call it. The rest of the state, you know, doesn't have a prayer. Okay, I don't know whether the federal government's our bigger enemy. So we used to think the federal government, the general government was the problem. By golly, all we're going to do is have greater state control and would be fine. With COVID, we realized the governors are more tyrannical than even Donald Trump was. The states were more tyrannical than even the federal government was. During COVID. So don't turn to your state and look for solace, because that ain't going to happen either. Okay, what does this look like? And do I just then say, hey, I'm an autonomous, my piece of ground here that I sit on, buddy, it's an autonomous free land. I'm going to secede from my neighbors. My neighbors are out of control, liberal, for crying out loud, too. When I bring up vote fraud, when I bring up this or that, they look at me like I got a third eye, that I'm crazy. Go ahead and secede from my neighborhood. You know what I'm talking about? This sounds crazy, ladies and gentlemen. I know we're not there yet, but it's a bubbling. How quick can it go from theory to you're in the thick of it? James Edwards with me. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
Protecting your liberties.
You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
President Biden will hold a presser in the East Room at 4 p.m. Eastern today. It should be noted President Biden continues to deny the media a list of attendees at Biden's Delaware home. Since the president has spent one quarter of his presidency there, the media must assume presidential business is being conducted in Delaware. Another example of soft-on-crime DAs not protecting their citizenry, a combined $250,000 reward is now being offered to help the LAPD track down the person responsible for stabbing UCLA graduate student Brianna Kupfer in a random act of violence. The suspect, 31-year-old Sean Lavelle Smith, is a career criminal with a rap sheet on both coasts of the United States. LAPD Lieutenant John Radke.
The Los Angeles community needs to come together and come together for the right reason. Of course, it's not just the money, but we need to hold this person accountable for what they did.
Ms. Kupfer was working at a furniture store in Los Angeles, California, when she was struck down. USA Radio News.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them the performance to help them succeed. And your car's engine deserves the same. Because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance, just like the pros. Visit Pennzoil.com/rebate to save on Pennzoil Synthetics. Terms apply.
Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to listeners. You can get great discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com. Click on the Radio Listener Special. Deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Buy One, Get One Free special on Giza Dream Sheets. All MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty. Call 1-800-951-8175 or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the Radio Listener Special. Use my promo code USA.
As the supply chain crisis sees no relief in sight, cargo ships once again are stacking up in Southern California ports. Now the trucking industry gets a rude awakening for those going across the United States-Canadian border.
Truckers carrying products across the U.S.-Canada border now have to show proof of a COVID-19 vaccine. Under new Canadian regulations, U.S. truckers who are not vaccinated will be turned away. Canadian drivers returning north who can't show vaccine proof will have to quarantine. Canada implementing the new rules on the weekend, resulting in almost an instant reduction in available trucks. That means prices are up almost 25% on produce and other commodities, according to industry reps. As shipping companies adjust to the new rules, many worry about having to pay more to attract drivers who are vaccinated. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. This gets more and more and more gnarly the more you kind of start to realize what's really out there on the web. Most people believe this is just kind of smattering of discussions, but it's continuing and getting worse. Here's the headline from the Huffington Post or Huff Post. Red states want to secede? Go ahead. Make our day. So the question then becomes, who would secede? Who would be the ones to leave in the national divorce, right? Who's going to stay? Who's going to go? And how does the federal government or the general government fit in? If the red states secede, does the general government stay with the blue states? So the blue states become the United States and the red states become, what, independent state countries? Independent republics? Now cities are declaring that they're republics. So where do we go? Where do we go from here? Who leaves in the national divorce? And what reality does that paint? Huff Post saying, go ahead, red states, secede. Make our day. James?
Sam, I have been appearing on this show once monthly for over 10 years, I guess, and this has been one of the most interesting and enthralling conversations I think that we've had, and they're all good. But this one is just really interesting because of the vast numbers of possible scenarios. But I would say this, and your question is of course, a good one. How would that work? Well, the answer is, of course, nobody knows. But what we do know is that nations have risen and fallen countless times throughout recorded history, and people always figure it out. How it would happen in a nation like America? Is it state to state or city to city or neighborhood to neighborhood? I don't know. But whatever reality comes from this is better, I think, than the trajectory on which we are currently headed. Because this goes back to what we were talking about earlier in the first hour. I don't think it is an exaggeration to say that if we continue on the present course that we've been on since 1776, this long, slow march downward, I mean, obviously it's accelerated so much just in the last few decades, but if we continue on that path, that people like us will be imprisoned, Christians will be imprisoned, political dissidents will be imprisoned. You're already seeing the beta test of it with examples like Stuart Rhodes and Ammon Bundy. And some of these others, civil trials, what we saw in Charlottesville, people don't now have the right. You do not have the right if you're a political dissident. This has been proven now in Charlottesville. That Charlottesville case was huge because, of course, it's easy to throw the book at the white supremacists who's going to care what happens to them. But the idea that now you have no right to legally obtain a permit, as those demonstrators in Charlottesville had, to demonstrate your First Amendment right of free speech and your civil right of freedom of assembly on the public square, I might add. They weren't on private property. This was going to be held at a city park, and now you don't have that right. So we are seeing now the news really tighten, and Merrick Garland, the people with his mentality, this Department of Social Justice that he runs, and how he is targeting conservatives and constitutionalists and anybody who's to the right of Comrade Stalin. We stay on this present path, and I think the idea of, Mr. Smith goes to Washington and reforming the entire system at large, I just think we're too far gone from that. And that's another point that should be made, Sam. This wouldn't have been a discussion, and this would have never been anything that we had to concern ourselves with if, for over the many decades that we have had since our founding until today, if men had done their duty. If we had stayed politically involved, if we had not become enamored with bread and circus, if we had not become apathetic, if we had not forgotten to safeguard our families and make sure that who we're sending to represent us is doing the right job, if we had kept control of this country, you wouldn't have to have this conversation. But because we did get fat, dumb, and happy as a nation, this is where we are. So a lot of the blame for whatever comes has to be put at the feet of the people. The feet of the people. The people have failed us, and they have failed the American experiment. But since they have, and since that you can't go back and undo that, now we have these unfortunate choices that need to be considered. And for me, and my family, I would rather there be a separation than continue on the path that we're on. Another 10 or 20 years of this, and I don't think it's going to happen because I think you're already seeing the ground shifting, but another 10 or 20 years of this, we're gone. We're done.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, check this out. Here's the question. Can a city declare itself a republic? California town just did. This happened in like October or November, by the way. I'm just getting to reporting it. But they call it Oroville, California. Oroville's city council overwhelmingly voted to declare the town a, quote, constitutional republic. So what does all this even mean? And so you're going to get more and more hostilities with this. The secession idea sounds romantic. The reality, though, may be really, really rough. I predict the day, write this down, I predict the day when it will not be safe or expedient to even travel from state to state, much less town to town. And you see the beginnings of it with the airlines literally melting down right now. You can't even book a flight and count on it anymore. You just won't get there.
Great point.
Or you won't get there in time. How long will it be till communications or other laws and regulations start to take effect? You know what? Hey, you can't go to New York because an airline won't take you there. You got to drive. Well, you try to go into New York driving or on a plane, and hey, are you going to show your vax card? Because, you're not going to get in without one, you evil criminal. And what lines, what battles, what circumstances will continue? This sounds like it's far away, and it may be. I don't know. I'm not a prophet. It may be, but at the same time, it may be right around the corner. How long would it be to where they say, look, you know what? You're not going to have your gun rights here. Your right to keep and bear arms, your carry, that doesn't work here. Abortions, you know, hey, we're going to, and whatever issue, how far till the divide happens? And then they're like, whoa, now we got in Texas, now that we got this abortion law or whatever to continue. How do we, Mississippi, we got these abortion law. Now, look, we're not going to let you leave the state or come into the state if your quest is abortion. You got to make sure that people don't, you know, cross the line and murder their babies. And whether whatever it be, I'm telling you, these fault lines seem distant. But you look how quick the COVID changed everything. One second, you're fine to move about. Next second, you're flat out locked down, almost in your homes, almost in martial law, depending on where you lived. Overnight, it was that way. And it was all 10 to 14 days. 2 years later, we have never even retracted the change. We're still ratcheting up. Right now, after all the vaccines, over 80% of the nation vaccinated. Literally masks everywhere. Now they're ratcheting up and closing schools right now because none of it worked. How fast can the change happen? I'm telling you right now, whiplash, James.
Well, one thing to remember, Sam, is that this is still our Father's world, and God has his hand on the world and on the nations and on the people. And you know, I don't know, you know, the mysterious ways in which the Lord works. But you know, if COVID, if for somehow this crazy, crazy, crazy stuff could play an unintended positive role in helping us reclaim a piece of this thing for ourselves, maybe that will be a silver lining in it all. But yes, I mean, the whole thing with COVID has certainly exacerbated the discontent. And that is the one thing, I think maybe the only thing, that liberals and so-called conservatives agree on, red and blue agree on, is that they don't like each other. They don't want to be around one another. So the sooner we can get into divorce court and get to the bargaining table and figure out how to split the assets, I think the better. Look, I think the better at this point. There is just no realistic way. Barring, as you said, the George Washington vision of God sending his angels down here to clean house. But short of that, there's just no realistic way to put Humpty Dumpty back together again, where New York City and the rural South and San Francisco and rural Idaho are all working and pulling in the same direction with a shared vision. That's just never going to happen again. And again, as I said in my last statement, it's a shame that the people of this nation allowed us to go so far off the rails where you can't get back on course, but you can't, I don't think. And so let's go in and let's figure it out, and let's come to an agreement on how we will go our separate ways. And I look forward to that day happening, hopefully in a very peaceful and nonviolent way.
So Marjorie Taylor Greene talks about a national divorce. And the question is, would a national divorce be civil? Can you have a national divorce and be civil there, James, you think?
Well, most divorces are not civil. You know, certainly the South tried a national divorce in 1861, and that was all but civil. So I don't know if it'd be the same this time, though, because this time it seems as though everybody wants out. We'll see.
How many people died the last time we tried this?
Well, about a million. 600,000, 700,000.
I predict that small change compared to what will happen. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, But I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, red states, blue states, the general government, three entities. If the national divorce happens, some say it's a foolish and psychotic idea. That may be so. Nevertheless, people are flirting with this romance that they think will be great. Can the city declare itself as a republic? Some have. So you want a national divorce? Can it remain civil? Will it remain civil? So you got the general government. Who are they going to stay with? Who's going to secede? Who's going to leave? The red or the blue? The conservative or the liberal? Who's going to stay with the general government, or does that dissolve? And we have two now new United States without a general government. But how do you remain united if there's no general government? The Articles of Confederation prove that to be very difficult indeed. So how does this look, James?
Well, again, too early to say, but it can be figured out because it's been figured out by people, groups, and in nations throughout history. The rise and fall of nations is not an uncommon thing. And if you look at the average lifespan of most nations, America is right at the 11th hour, you know, in a lot of ways. I mean, you say, well, you know, nations like France and Italy. Yeah, I mean, there are still nations called that that have had similar people, but they have had so many different governments and so many different rifts and splits and schisms over the years. That, you know, it's almost incalculable. The thing here, though, is, again, who starts it? And who gets what? And do the liberals go first? I mean, you see, you always think it's going to be the conservatives. You know, the liberals could certainly go first this time. And who would be opposed to that? It's just when you have nothing in common with people, why be forced to do business with them? Why be forced to engage with them? Street by street based secession. I mean, some people will probably have to move. That's not uncommon when nations fall apart. Obviously, a lot of people are already moving. We mentioned this. The population trends in this country, even over the course of the last 2 years, show that people are fleeing the government of the left to come to the governments of states in the South with regards to what's going on with COVID. So. We'll find out. We'll find out together. I think, Sam, we'll find out before either of us go to heaven. I do. I think it's that close. I think you go back to the early 2000s, and the idea of secession was only being talked by a very scant number of Southern nationalists. It was very esoteric. It wasn't serious. But now you've already rattled off several headlines coming from the biggest mouthpieces in system media because they know that this is becoming an increasingly serious topic. It's not just locker room talk or pub talk anymore. This is something that could happen, and I think for our sake, it needs to happen.
So you got to ask yourself a couple of questions: Who owns the United States? And if a breakup were to happen, it's easily thought about as, oh, the red states versus the blue states, or one group will stay with the general government, the other one will create their own governments, such as the South did in the day, saying, hey, we'll have our own president, etc. But here's the real question. Who owns the United States? Okay. Who owns the U.S. national debt? And will they if America starts to, quote, split up or whatever you want to say, have a national divorce or whatever else, where will these countries make their play? The United States of America, current foreign ownership, Japan, China, etc. Are they going to say, well, hey, if you guys are breaking up, we might as well go ahead and assert ourselves and say, we want this piece, we want that piece. Will countries be vying for pieces of former America, James?
Yeah, again, those are questions that will have to be settled. Those accounts will have to be settled, but I am sure that they were settled in other places as well. It's a complex question. It's one that I don't have the foresight to give an answer to, but it is something, you know, maybe we can leave the people who caused this left holding the bag, and I can tell you it certainly wasn't our people. It wasn't our people who were advocating for these mismanaged trade deals and all of this spending that ratcheted up the debt to where it is now. But of course, you know, when it comes time for responsibility and accountability, the people who actually caused it aren't going to be the ones who are going to want to settle the ledger. But yeah, who keeps Washington D.C.? And you know, Washington D.C. is the seat of the empire. And if anybody who's ever been to Washington D.C., if you can take away the politics of it and the fact that you got those 535 sociopathic congressmen there. I mean, there may be two or three ones with which we have some common ground, and the senators and all of that. You know, just the disgusting, I mean, truly a cesspool, truly a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah, but it is beautiful. Those museums and those monuments are beautiful. Who gets that? You know, you could take a city like Washington, D.C., populate it with the right-thinking Christian people, and you'd have something worth preserving. I don't know, Sam. I don't know, but I'll tell you again, and this is a point that I've made two or three times now, but it's worth repeating. We don't want our children to have to live in the America that will come in another 20 years at the current pace. It needs to change. It's sad that it didn't work out and that it fell apart. But you know what? That's history. That's history. There is a timeline and a cycle and a life cycle for nations, just as for all of us. And this America, as we once knew it, is coming to an end. It's time for something new. It's time for something hopefully better.
Some say maybe it's time for America to split up, ladies and gentlemen. So here's the question. You're right. Who keeps D.C.? Who keeps the, quote, national treasures? Who owns the U.S. national debt? Who's going to be stuck holding that bag? Who's going to be sticking with the Federal Reserve? And what currency would the other group go to? Would they go back to the constitutional currency, gold and silver? Or will they create a fiat currency of their own? Didn't you have different fiat currencies in the South and the North there, James?
Well, I mean, you know, even back then, of course, I mean, the South had a dollar. They came up with their own paper money as well. But, you know, I think back then it was certainly much more based, even in the United States as well.
So hold on. Does the new group that secedes jump into crypto and that's their new currency? Bring on the, quote, Amero and bring on a new dollar? What's going to happen here, ladies and gentlemen? I'm telling you right now, it's those details, which everybody could say, we'll leave that for a later day. But nobody has the guts like me to dig in.
Well, maybe somebody will put you on the council that will be charged with determining some of these very important questions. But those are questions I would rather work through and wade through than sticking around to see. You look at America from 1950 to the America of 2020. I know it's 2022, but we'll just go 70 years.
Yeah,
you want another
for sure.
70 years at that pace? You want another 70 years at that pace? They will be killing us. That is not hyperbole. You want to talk about concentration camps? Who do you think will be in the ones that are coming here? That is not something that is just political rhetoric and just made for radio. You go from the America of 1950 to the America of 2020. We won't be around in 2090, Sam, but our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren will be. That is not something I want them to deal with. And if I can have a hand and any sort of say and any sort of voice in saying, okay, let's push the reset on this and we'll see where the chips fall.
Oh, so now it comes all around. You got the thugs in the world pushing for a, quote, global reset. And now James wants to join them and press the reset button, right?
Well, in a different manner of speaking, we use
Hold on, are you a reset guy now?
Well, in terms of pushing reset on this culture, yes. In terms of pushing reset on where we are as a society and trying to go back to something better with better safeguards, yes.
So the question is, can you have one really without the other, is the question. In other words, can you have a reset James Edwards way, but not Von Klaus's way or whatever it is, Biden's way or Clinton's way? Who knows? Can you have a reset your way, but not their way, or their way, but not your way? The great reset's coming, Blaze Media, with the email that says that right now. What does that look like? Is it James Edwards style?
They're talking about.
Yeah.
Is, you know, when in the parlance of our time, when they're talking about the Great Reset, they're talking about population reset, where the historical majorities of European nations and of America get swept away with genocidal immigration policies. And that's what the Great Reset is known as in terms of conservative parlance. But and that is truly happening. I mean, you look at the birth rates of formerly European nations and European-derived nations like America. You know, obviously we are getting replaced. That's a great replacement. So we do want to push reset on that as well, though.
All right. Well, Glenn Beck just wrote a book called The Great Reset. James and Glenn are on the same page here, ladies and gentlemen. They say the wait is almost over. On January 11th, coming up. Oh, that already passed. Yeah, the book's available now. The most important book of Glenn Beck's career hits the shelves. The Great Reset. Joe Biden and the Rise of 21st Century Fascism reveals the globalist plot to forever alter our way of life. And more importantly, how we could put a stop to it if we stick together and have the mojo, if we hope to keep the precious freedoms we still have. So will it go down Glenn Beck's way? Will it go down James Edwards' way? Or will it go down the way of Joe Biden and the globalist deep state leaders? My view is to jettison the divisions, to work together in a way that brings back morality in the people. And unless we do that and turn to God, I don't care what plan, what road you go down, all roads lead straight to hell. And the only way, ladies and gentlemen, is to turn to God as a moral people. And if we do that, I think we can save this republic. And if we don't do that, it's quaintance, to pardon the pun.
Well, it sounds good, Sam. I just don't know how practical or realistic that is. You have to want God. These people don't want him. They reject him. And it's hard to find common ground with people like that. Yes, we will continue to take the good news of our Savior to them and hope that they will open their hearts to him. But there's just no reason to believe that that's something that's realistic going forward as we continue to just get further and further away from that type of America. But I'll tell you this, if we go through...
Hold on. Is that more unrealistic? Or is it more unrealistic to hope we can save ourselves as an immoral people? Which one's a more unrealistic reality?
Well, we will save our... Well, they're not going to save themselves as an immoral people, obviously. I mean, they're going to the path to destruction at their own hand. But it is realistic to think that we can cobble together a nation worthy of our... inheritance and do something with that. I think separation is the key to that. But if we go through the rigors of doing that and we put people like Glenn Beck in charge, it was all for naught, because we need something a lot more muscular than what Glenn Beck's offering, or else we'll be right back where we are, and we don't want to do that again.
Yeah, so my book would be about civility. Glenn's book is about the Great Reset. Ladies and gentlemen, the Great Reset is coming, some say, by hook or by crook. The federal government is going to force it via the deep state tied in with global leaders, and their goal is to remake America into a socialist, communist tyranny as they want for the whole world. So when you talk about secession, are you seceding from what? And, you know, when we were in heaven and God kicked Satan out, thrust him down, if you will, was that a division, a great succession or secession? All I'm telling you, weighty matters, ladies and gentlemen, are ahead of us in the Republic. I'll tell you that now. Go get on your knees and pray hard, then get up and go to work and advocate for what you think is best. I personally believe that morality in the people, kindness, and teaching the principles of Jesus Christ is the only way forward. That's my opinion. James, final words yours.
Well, again, ladies and gentlemen, trust in the Lord and feather your nest and do what you need to do to protect your children and to lead by example and to lead and live a godly life. For others to emulate, but also be aware of the changing political realities and be ready to adjust if need be. And we'll do it together. And Sam, I love you, brother. Thank you for all you're doing and for leading the way. I wish we had Sam Bushman's America. I truly do. Look forward to talking to you again very soon.
James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Ladies and gentlemen, there he goes. This nation shall endure. God save the Republic.